Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Chicago-based jazz guitarist, composer, and bandleader Samuel Mushing. We had a good talk about COVID-19 life, his new 2022 CD, Ethereal Kicks, his beginnings now and the future. This cat has headlined performances internationally at a long list of venues and festivals with so many in the world of jazz. He looks forward to the slow of COVID and much more action. Enjoy this story.
Thank you for taking a minute out for the show today. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So I've had Ethereal King in my CD player for probably the last few days, and I've really enjoyed driving around. That's how I kind of roll with new music, is to really give it a good drive, and I really enjoyed this album, so I appreciate you talking to me about it.
Oh, that's nice to hear. I do the same thing. I listen to it on a car as well.
Yeah, it's the best way to see the world move by. So, you know, the thing about this new album release is it's coming out during a very strange time on the planet for the last 2 years, you know, dealing with COVID. But it's also probably relieving and good to actually have new material out. So when the world does get to a better place, there's more opportunity to perform live and to promote it. So what are your general feelings on this release?
So it's definitely, in a way, a pandemic album, but it's not the first time that, you know, I've been so isolated, which, and you know, you just had to stay at home, especially in 2020. But I'm actually from a small mountain town or close to the Alps in Switzerland, and I was kind of the only musician there. So it wasn't all that new to me to be just like, it's all myself.
That's interesting. You know, as I mentioned, I really enjoy this album, and I know the way it makes me feel. It's just, it's good. It just has a good sonic texture to it. And I'm wondering what you hope the listener gets from this new project.
I feel very strongly as a composer, more than I feel as a guitar player, just doing this all by myself. So I play most of the parts myself too. It's just a lot of me in there and a lot of my compositions. And I love to kind of, you know, introduce my compositions to people. And it's a relatively calm album in a way. I think in a live context, it would be different. But then, you know, if people already know the music from the album, that's like a great starting point. So that's why I'm doing this.
You know, during this time of quarantine, you know, self-reflection, you know, is there anything that you learned about yourself over these last 2 years that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you stronger as a musician and a composer and promoter of this album as we kind of reemerge into the world?
Absolutely. So as a musician, basically being away from other musicians where you can always lean or their time on their time feel, I was just basically all by myself, sometimes with the metronome. And I spend a lot of time basically with rhythmic stuff and practicing, keeping time and tempos by myself. And that's basically a lot. There's a lot of rhythm on this album.
Let's go back to how all of this began, how you found your voice and your sound. Talk to me about your childhood, and you had talked about Switzerland. Talk to me a little bit about how you got involved with music, and more specifically jazz.
So I always wanted to play an instrument. I played the recorder when I was young, but that doesn't really count now. I picked up a guitar, the electric guitar, when I was 10. And a little later, I think a year or two later, the bass and the drum. Again, it was kind of hard to have a playing musician with other musicians. So I did a lot by myself. I had good teachers that started teaching me jazz early on. I think I started my first jazz standards at the age of 12. And it was just all studying this music, but kind of like never hearing it live. And until later, then, you know, at some point, 15, 16, I definitely started to hear things live. But it was a very introspective process, listening to records for sure and just practicing by myself.
So who were some jazz musicians that you really got into that kind of swayed you and made you feel the way you do about jazz now?
You know, the first jazz album I bought, I think, was Crescent by John Coltrane. It was a completely lucky guess because I think it's still my favorite album. John Coltrane is for sure up there in his quartet, which, you know, all the musicians, Elvin Jones, Jimmy Garrison, and McCoy Tyner, they're huge influences. There's definitely also Wayne Shorter, was always big. Yeah, Eric Dolphy.
what about the very first live jazz show that you ever saw that was like, wow, this is it?
I'm not sure if it was the first, but the first that just comes to mind now is I saw John Scofield's Uber Jam live, and this band was just smashing.
Talk to me a little bit about kind of your path to right now. Like, you know, when you started playing professionally and kind of how you started gaining steam up to this point in your career.
Right now, you know, because of the pandemic, a lot of stuff shut down. There was always a lot of opportunity in Chicago to play live gigs in smaller jazz contests. That is pretty much diminished right now, so there's not a lot of that. I still play in churches, a couple of church gigs every week, really. And that's in the pandemic. That's pretty much it. I did a lot of live streaming. And now we're slowly getting back to normal and picking up gigs again, which I'm really looking forward to, especially in spring. It's going to pick up.
So where exactly are you located right now?
I'm actually in the south side of Chicago, so in Bronzeville. Okay.
Is that your home now during the pandemic, or has that been your home for a while?
I've been here for, I think, 5 to 6 years in Bronzeville. I moved to Chicago in 2013. Yeah, and I think 2015 I moved to Bronzeville. So I've been in the South Side for a while now.
So I'm curious, coming from Switzerland, you know, was it always a dream of yours to come to America because of the way that we, you know, the jazz scene and kind of how things roll here that way?
Actually, not at all. So I always liked jazz or loved jazz, but I was visiting a friend that I knew from Ireland that studied in Chicago in 2012. And when I just saw heard the jazz here, saw how it's played and how it felt, it was just something completely different than what I knew from back in Europe. And I was like, oh my God, I need to come here and study this. And so I went back, organized a work visa, and came back a year later and have been here ever since.
So do you ever get, I mean, obviously COVID's gotten in the way of it, but do you ever get over to Europe and kind of, you know, the Europeans have a different love and zeal for jazz. Is that something that you miss being here in the States?
You know, missing would be the wrong word. I try and go home every year at least once. 2020, I couldn't go, but 2021, I went again. I'm planning to go this year as well. It's definitely a completely different animal. Jazz is played different. The audience is very different, and I kind of embrace it all. Just like wherever I am, I'm like, oh, wow, this is completely different. Not everybody's quiet and listening in Europe, and here it's more of like an entertainment vibe sometimes. People are listening as well, but you really got to give them something here. So I do love the change, like to go back and forth and just experience the different audiences and the different scenes.
In a very simple way, why do you love jazz?
I love jazz because of improvisation for the most part. It's just very much in the moment. And whenever it's like really truly improvised, it's always current.
So you've had the opportunity to compose and perform with some pretty big names and veterans in the world of jazz. And I'm curious, what have you learned from these people that have been around a long time in the world of jazz that you in turn teach younger players that you get around?
That jazz is truly a spiritual music. And spiritual, you know, it's sometimes kind of hard to explain, but the depth, it's just all about love and just the judgment going away the more experienced people have. So like when I played with Rusty Jones, he was in his 70s, and it was just all love, and he was no judgment, and it just floods into the music, and I try to teach that as well, that people kind of get away from their reservations or from their fears and judgments and just play and enjoy and have a good time while, of course, doing the work as well, but in a way that is, like, pleasant.
So is there anybody on your radar that you would love to see live in the world of jazz that you haven't caught live yet?
Oh, there's so many. I have never seen Wynton Marsalis. I always wanted to see him. There's a whole bunch of people that I want to see live and want to see live again. I don't even know where to begin.
How about this? If you could get it, we get off the phone, a time machine pulls up in front of your house and you could go anywhere in the history of jazz and see a live performance. Who are you going to go see? Where are you going to go?
Oh, of course it's going to be Coltrane. Of course it's going to be that quartet. And it's like right before Love Supreme, that era in New York. That's what I will go to see for sure.
Let's say you have a dream tonight and you run into your younger version of yourself, like around the time that you were starting out in music, and you could give your younger self a piece of advice based on the wisdom that you've gotten over the years, what would you tell that younger version of you?
To just trust and not be scared or not have fear, because it's going to be all right.
You know, as we hopefully start returning to live music and things get better and we get over this COVID, what do you hope that, you know, the audiences that have been largely away from live music for 2 years and musicians realize about the power of live music when we really get back into earnest?
I just hope that people are going to be very much in the moment and not just go out for entertainment, but to really open up their minds and their souls and help share the experience so that it's like a real circle and that they're really open to new things as well.
Everyone has this idea of who they think you are, a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but you ultimately live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
I think it's a feeling. I think I am who I decide to be. When I moved to the U.S., there was really nobody who actually knew me here, and I got to completely redefine myself. And now that I go back to Switzerland, I'm still that person. So you get to define who you are, and that's who I am.
Samuel, this has been great, man. Thank you for opening up about the album. Really enjoy the music. Good luck with everything as hopefully things get better here in 2022.
Oh, thank you so much. A pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Switzerland, Chicago, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Samuel for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.